Hi, everyone, and welcome to Brody Fest, the podcast where we are watching all of Adrian Brody's in chronological order, so you don't have to. I am Linnea Bullion, joined by my wonderful co-host, Amelia Barras. Hi, Amelia. How are you?
I'm doing so good. So happy to be here in this February. Now we're in February. I know all the content online is saying that January took forever, but I just feel like here we are in February already.
I was about to say, I saw a post about that as well, and I was just like, what are you even talking about? It's already February.
It's already February, like, 4th, 5th? Yeah, 5th, you know?
When did that happen? Yeah.
Suddenly, I don't know. Anyhow, let's just hop right into this one, okay?
Let's hop into
this
one.
We saw the 2021 film Clean, okay? Did not receive a rating. Here is the IMDb description of the movie. Tormented by his past, a garbage man named Clean attempts a quiet life of redemption, but soon finds himself forced to reconcile with the violence of his past. Okay, this movie was Adrian Brody's brainchild. Like, he wrote this. I believe he directed it.
No. He executive produced and co-wrote this with the same guy who wrote the dog movie that I always forget the name of. Bullethead. The director of Bullethead directed this. They co-wrote it together. And Adrian Brody was an executive producer. And
he wrote the score for the film.
And the original music, Amelia.
And the original music for the film.
That part is important, which you'll see why.
but also, I just think it's, like, important to say about this film. This film really is a reflection of him as an artist. You know, like, this is, like, he made sure he had a lot of creative input into this movie. Mm-hmm. And it was gratuitously violent for not necessary at all in any way for it to be as horribly violent as it was. It was, I mean, really, that was what really got to me, was just like how much unnecessary violence and how much he thinks it's clearly cool to be violent like that. And to use guns like that, you know, and be like using weapon, like, you can tell,
right, but
he thinks it's...
Do you like John Wick?
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. I agree that it's gratuitous, but in a way I was like...
Right, but this movie wasn't trying to be John Wick. This movie was trying to be so much more.
I would argue that the back half of this film is trying to be John Wick, but the problem is that it doesn't earn that or work. So let us just say, we need to do a quick plot rundown. I'm trying to be better about this. Noelle, this is because of you. So basically, Clean is about Adrian Brody, garbage man named Clean.
Named Clean.
I don't think, nicknamed, obviously, but I don't think we ever figure out the history of that nickname. He's just called Clean, do we?
But no. And also, he's called Clean, which makes him Mr. Clean, okay? Like, it is just hilarious to the whole movie be thinking, this motherfucker is Mr. Clean.
Yeah, I, like, literally didn't even... I feel like I pushed Clean out of my head from frame one.
I couldn't get it out of my head because it's so hilarious to have a movie where you're a garbage man and you name him Clean.
Yeah.
And then he's Mr. Clean.
Again, we've seen so many movies. He's just Adrian Brody to me, period, in anything. It's all I can see. I can't uncouple him from anything. But so he is a garbage man. He is going to Narcotics Anonymous. He leads a very, very, very solitary life. Doesn't seem to have a lot of friends.
Any friend.
Well, he has a couple, like, interactions with people who are, like, you know, people seem to generally like him.
Of course.
Lives in a very impoverished neighborhood. We'll get into that. Yeah. Hold your notes on that.
Aggressively impoverished.
We'll get into it. And basically he's like, he watches out for his neighbor who at sometimes they act like she's 10 and other times act like she's 15. Couldn't figure it out. Very strange.
Which one thing, if you know Adrian Brody, if he's going to be in a movie, he's going to be mentoring a young woman. You just know that.
I saw someone in Google reviews compare this to Detachment, and I was like, oh boy, we don't want to get into that energy. But so he's watching out for this girl, and basically at one point in the film, he's essentially stalking her because she started hanging out with the wrong crowd, and so he views himself as her protector. And she's at a party, is smoking weed, someone starts to assault and almost rape her, and Adrian Brody comes in with a wrench and just literally murders, I mean, not actually, but basically murders a bunch of like young men, probably teens, early 20s, which, like, again, not that we're condoning it, but I was like, sir, this is how you're improving your neighborhood?
He killed everybody in that place except for her and then brought her across the street.
Yeah, she literally lives
across the street, and you murdered everybody in the house across the street.
I think they're trying to act like he didn't murder any of them, but so
it was a wrench. I don't know. That person on the ground looked dead. Remember when the
Trust me, I'm not arguing that. I think again, they're positioning him as a hero, and so because of that, like, and obviously there's a very big gap between his actions and actual heroic actions. So this happens, and one of the kids in the house that he beats the living shit out of is the son of a local mobster whose entire mob operation is white in this predominantly African-American neighborhood. I do want to point that out, just in the sense that I was like, oh, this is interesting that every main character is white, and then anyone who is like a thug slash, I don't know. It was a weird energy. It was a really weird energy. The neighbor that he's protecting, she's mixed race, like his, he, so basically we get flashbacks of him and his daughter.
Do we ever see the mother of that daughter?
No, we don't. Okay, so we never see the mother.
So we are just to assume, oh, that's his daughter and the wife was black. Okay, for sure.
Yes. Classic. But so the general thing is, like, they never really give you, like, oh, why is Clean the way he is, except you get these little flashbacks of, like, he used to have a daughter and clearly something really intense happened to her because has this, like, very protective nature of this neighbor who is, like, a surrogate for his daughter who we assume has, like, died or something. I do love, there's a line where the grandma of the surrogate daughter is like, you don't have to protect her, or like, you don't have to take care of us. She's not your daughter. Like, they had to put in a line of them saying she's not your daughter, because it would be fair to think that, like, the little girl, the like young girl playing his daughter looks a lot like the 15-year-old.
Also, in the flashback to his daughter, the very first one, tell me if I'm wrong, the entire flashback is her sitting on his lap singing the weirdest song ever.
Singing in Latin.
And he wrote it, right? Did Brody write that?
No, I doubt he wrote that one.
I don't know, but it's like so important. It's chosen for that scene that it makes me feel
She's like literally 6 years old and she's sitting in his lap singing in Latin. Like, I can't emphasize.
Oh, see, and then, okay, so what really was powerful to me about that scene in that moment was the fact that she was singing, and in my mind I was like, Brody wrote that. Like, that's why this scene exists. It's because he wanted to get that out there.
I'm not sure that one was. That would be one of the few that I was like, I'm not sure about. But I don't know. I don't know. My quote I wrote, or my note for that one, is, why is she singing in Latin?
Literally, why? And we are just supposed to assume that she's his daughter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then the grandma of the, in the present, the grandma of the surrogate daughter says, we don't need you to save us. And he says, I'm just trying to save myself.
Yeah.
Which I was a little bit like, okay, you're like trying to work around the white savior narrative by saying that, that like, oh, I'm not. But the thing is, every action he takes in this movie is just like perpetuating violence, digging himself into a hole of like brutality and revenge and like, not necessarily growth and learning, and it's weird. And he walks around the neighborhood, he literally goes and like paints tagged houses in the middle of the night. And I was like, God, this is like, I don't think that he's the right person to be making this indictment of poverty in America.
Right. Like, and he does so much handiwork in this movie, and it's so clear Adrian Brody has never done any handiwork. Cause like watching him do that, I realized how hard acting is, you know, because like you have to do stuff like that and look like you know what you're doing. And he, like, he's trying so hard to look like he knows what he's doing, but it's just clear his hands have never known work like that.
You know? I don't know. I mean, no, I mean, I can't agree or disagree with that statement. It's all, like, the plot convenience. So I will say the entire first hour of this movie is just like so slow, and it's really frustrating because it's not slow in an interesting way, right? Like, there are a lot of movies where you're just kind of like a fly on the wall watching things unfold, right? Like, I am not someone who is anti movies with no plot as long as they're like interesting character studies. But this is not that movie. Like, this is just a guy who doesn't talk, walking around. I did see someone in another Google review call him Adrian Brody, and I love that. It's incredible. It's exactly who he is in this film.
That's not the best thing we've heard him called, though.
No, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. But I don't know. It's wild. So it is. It's like the first hour is like character study, supposedly, and then the back third, the last 30 minutes, 45 minutes, is like him going into brutal John Wick revenge style like murder mode.
Right. Yeah, you see him preparing for battle, you see him sawing off these shotguns, you see him like, you know, putting on a tactical vest and getting a knife in there.
Okay.
Hand to hand.
I also have to talk about, speaking of the preparation scene, there is a gratuitous, clearly not shot in slow-mo, but put into slow-mo scene of himself giving himself a whore's bath shirtless while he's getting ready.
Amelia, what's a whore's bath?
It's like when you're just like wiping yourself with like towels.
Oh, yes! I remember that being like, what's...
Like, I was just like, what is the point?
Him wipe himself yes. up?
And, I'm like, and in slow-mo.
And I was like, why is he doing that? Why is he wiping himself off in the way he's wiping? Is he trying to get clean?
It's all just a product placement for clean. Here's the thing. I would understand. Okay, right? The point of film, everything you're doing is supposed to have a purpose, right? Every shot included is supposed to have a purpose. I don't understand. I would get it if that scene were like him wiping the blood off of himself.
He was
and
clean.
It's like meant.
Dude was clean. Right?
But no, there was nothing on him. It's literally meant to be like, look at Adrian Brody's shirtless abs.
And that's another thing about this movie is like knowing that he co-wrote it. You know,
yes. You
know every part of that movie, he was like, fuck yeah. Like he didn't do a thing he didn't want to do in that movie. Everything he wrote, he thought was like cool and good and important. And you know, it's why was that in him? And you know, it's what he really wanted to do. You know, like, why does this man really bad want to be Keanu Reeves?
Yeah. I will say, like, the last 30 minutes, I genuinely was having a fun time. Not in the way the filmmakers intended.
It was so horrible, though. It was such violence. Violence for no reason.
I guess, for me, again, I was like, it didn't bother me in the sense that, like, it was very, like, I don't know. Maybe I just have a different tolerance for that kind of violence. Like, I literally was like, well, at least something's happening.
Right.
And I was genuinely cackling aloud. Not because the filmmakers wanted me to be laughing, but because just, like, how it was shot. Like, it was so unintentionally hilarious and entertaining that I was like, man, if this movie had all been like this, I would have actually liked this movie. There's a moment too where, okay, so the main baddie has a video of Adrian Brody beating the shit out of his kid, and so he's like, okay, I need to go after this guy, right? When he sends his goons after Adrian Brody and the grandmother and her granddaughter, they all have hatchets. And they all are stalking them like Jason in Friday the 13th, like literally walking slowly after them. And there's a shot of them running the hatchet along the wall. And I was like, this is straight up horror movie shit. Like, but this isn't a horror movie. It's supposed to be an action thriller. Like, what is happening right now? Why do they all have hatchets? Every single one of them, the exact same hatchet. What?
It almost felt very Gangs of New York, just like preparing for a battle.
Yes. It also he's a garbage truck driver.
Yes, he is. And we see that garbage truck a lot.
We see it a lot. And again, he drives the garbage truck to the main villain's house.
Through the main villain's house.
And through the main, but like while he is on the clock. And this man, we are led to believe, is not in prison at the end of the film. And I was like, what fucking universe?
Who uses a city garbage truck to do that?
He uses a city garbage truck to literally commit mass murder. Like, there are 20, no less than 20 people.
Yeah, the fines that he is subject to.
I don't know. There's so much weirdness. Like, also, like, Clean is always listening to music, and we're kind of led to believe that, like, the music that's playing over some of those scenes are diegetic. And so I was like, oh, wow, Clean is just listening to Adrian Brody's music right now. Like, it's this weird, like, Adrian Brody listening to his own beats, just, like, walking around being like, yeah.
Oh, and there were several times in the movie where he'd be having a scene and you could hear, like, iPod music very low in, like, the bottom of the scene just to, like, remind us that he's listening to me. It's like, oh, okay, is this movie from his perspective? Like, what? Why is there this music at very low throughout this scene?
I will say I took the most notes I've ever taken for any movie on this. I wrote, did he make this movie just to have a platform for his music? Which I'm pretty sure is the answer is yes.
Right. It's like from the beginning of this movie, it's like, wait, you demand we take you seriously as a musician now?
Yeah. And listen, I am all for. So the tricky thing about this movie, too, is that, like, I am all for letting the audience figure things out. Right. Like, I want more movies to treat their audiences with respect.
Like, that was your problem, like, with Saltburn, right? Is that they told us too much at the end?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I think that movies, like, there's a very fine line between, like, expecting your audience to be smart and, like, leaving out too much.
Right.
And this movie gives you nothing. Like, this movie, we don't know. Like, there's one line that one of the villains said that I was like, oh, that was, like, this was totally the elevator pitch log line for the movie. It was just, the trash man wasn't always the trash man.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that is what they pitched this movie as. But again, we don't know we don't know what he was before this. We, like, kind of get an idea. And when I read the Wikipedia page, they said, this I also can't get over, someone in the Wikipedia had written, like, it turns out that he was formerly an assassin known as the Grim Reaper. And I was like, okay, one villain calls him the Grim Reaper, but I assumed that that was, like, it turns out this guy's the Grim fucking Reaper, right. As in, like, this is he's a metaphor kill for how...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like, but someone in the Wikipedia listed it as, like, no, he was an assassin known as the Grim Reaper.
One of my favorite lines in this movie is, I was looking for answers, but I didn't know any of the questions. But I didn't know
that just...
any of the questions. What?
Well...
What do you mean? Did you just come out of a coma? Do you not remember? Are you have amnesia?
There's a lot of... Yeah. I was looking up too. So this screened at Tribeca in 2021. It was released in theaters, apparently, which is mind-blowing to me. It made like $350,000 at the box office. So very few theaters. But in January, which... If Wait, you know
did you
anything,
say it made 350 mil Sorry, at the box office.
Amelia.
Okay.
350,000. I don't think I pardon if I said million. No, thousand.
You said 350, and 350,000. Oh, right. Sounds just very low. And yeah, I was like, it can't possibly.
350,000. I mean, again, it was probably only in theaters for a couple weeks. I didn't look at Box Office Mojo or anything, right. But. It was released in January of 2022, which January is where they send the movies to die. Like, January releases are referred to as fuck you, it's January on the internet, because it's when movies that they know aren't going to do well, that's like when they place them.
Why do people not really go to movies in January?
It's more... It cannot be up for any single awards contender.
Oh.
So yeah, I think it's partially one, people are pulling back on spending because of the holidays because they just spent a bunch.
Right.
Two, like it wouldn't be eligible for awards until the following calendar year, and that's a really long time
no one's
for people to be able.
It, right.
Yeah, no one remembers it. So a lot of times, like, movies get slated for January and February releases when it's just like, there's nothing else out, right. I guess we'll just put it here. Horror movies and musicals, like, that's why Mean Girls came out in January. Like, those are kind of the two main time periods for that.
Uh-huh.
I just found that to be an interesting tidbit.
Oh, that this was indeed a January
That this movie. Was a fuck you, it's January movie.
Yeah, and that was a very fuck you, it's January gross.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The whole thing, I mean, I was just kind of like, what is this girl, his, like, surrogate daughter? Like, what, is she genuinely just his neighbor? Is that it? Like, how does he know her?
Right. Well, no,
it's
I mean...
Because it's creepy that they have no connection. It's creepy that he's just, like, a 40-year-old man stalking a 15-year-old girl, whether or not he's quote-unquote protecting
and
her.
Honestly, not the first time we've seen that dynamic in a movie.
I know!
He's coming. It's all, he loves that. And that's what, like, for me, this movie was meaningful in a way others weren't, because Brody co-wrote it, because he was the executive producer.
Right.
Because he did the music for this, you know, like, it was clear that this is the movie that he wanted to make, and it's just so disappointing that it is. How old was he when he made this movie? Was he in his 40s? Was he in his 40s at this point?
Probably.
You've lived in your 40s, you know, you've lived a long life. This is the story you want to tell about Clean the Garbage Man?
Again, I wish they had either. The thing is, they're not strong enough writers. Sorry, guys, but they're not. Not that I am either. But, like, to make a movie that's as... Like, you know, this is a story we've seen a bajillion times before. So if you're going to do it, you either have to, like, make it interesting, give us a little bit, like, I don't know, like, the addict assassin thing. Like, okay, like... You know, dude with a tormented past turns out to be a badass. Okay, like, we've seen it. And again, like, not that John Wick as a film has more from an emotional standpoint, but it's at least, like, stylistically really fascinating, like, has amazing fight scenes, like, and it doesn't pretend to be anything other than it is. This movie, I feel like, wanted it both ways, right? Like, it wanted to be this, like, gritty, like, mob, like, one man against the mob protecting a woman movie while also being a revenge plot line. And it's like, you just have to have stronger writing or stronger stylistic choices to and like pick a lane. You can't do both.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie didn't quite know what it was. You know, they didn't really know what they were going for. It was just clear that they have a very specific idea of manliness and manhood and like what it means to be a man and all that. And it's just disappointing, you know, boring, cliche. Well,
and on top of that, like, you know, there's four women in this entire film. Oh, I guess five, including his daughter. So there's the woman he interacts with at the paint store, which is literally a 10-second interaction. There's the grandmother of the neighbor. Yeah. There's the neighbor. There's his daughter. And there's the villain's wife. That's five women. Five women in this entire movie. Every single one of them is a plot device / object. Like, it is wild to watch. Just women being actual literal objects. the wife of the mobster, the reason I bring her up at all is like one of the last scenes when he's going through the house and like going to assassinate people. The wife is like, he's in there. Clearly, like the only shots we get of her are like her being scared of her husband. And so it's like clear that, oh, this character is like sick of being this mobster's wife. He's not good to her. Like, yada, yada. Okay, sure. But I was like, don't just do that. Like, what are you doing? What? It was very frustrating.
Yeah. Like, what did you want to see her do?
I would have rather just not seen her at all. Like, because I honestly was like, well, it's more offensive to have her literally be this like cowering, abused woman.
Right.
With no agency whatsoever, which like,
right.
Not like that doesn't happen, but if you're gonna have that in your movie, make it more interesting, give her something to do.
Right.
Have a B plot of her talking to the son and like trying to go behind the husband's back to take care of her son and get him out of this life, but instead it's just her standing in a hallway cowering being like, go murder my husband, he's in that room.
She's just a male fantasy.
All the 15-year-old
it was the male fantasy. the neighbor that the black woman neighbor who teaches him, you know, is constantly doling out words of wisdom and teaching him things all the time, also a male fantasy.
I mean, don't watch this movie, obviously.
I don't know. If we're going to talk about rating this movie, it was so bad, it was interesting to me. It was one of those movies. I think
I was going to give it a -2 for the last 30 minutes alone.
I was going to give it a -5.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the kind of movie I might watch again because it's so bad. Because the script is so bad.
It's that first hour was just so boring to me that I don't think I could do it. If you are going to watch this movie, I mean, just fast forward through like most of the first
part of it. I preferred the beginning of it because the end of it is all just that gratuitous violence. Like,
it's funny.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, the violence is funny. I don't know. I thought the beginning was funny. Like, it's just so funny to see him be the garbage man named Clean and to see Brody be in that, you know, toxic masculine fantasy of his, how he looks. Like, he clearly made this movie because he wanted to look what he thinks is the coolest. And is what he thinks is the coolest thing for him to be doing in a movie.
I did write, one of my other notes was, I just simply don't buy him as a hard ass.
Yeah.
I just don't. I will say, the beard looked great. Great beard. I'm team Brody beard. I think he should run it more often.
You know, this makes me think that maybe like his favorite movie that he's ever been in is Predators. You know, like after this movie, it's like, wow, that's really who he wants to be playing.
Which, you know, I want more of that in my life. More Predators, more of the time. I should also say there's not a whole lot of trivia on this movie, but one of them is that their biggest inspiration for this movie is Taxi Driver, So, again, that's what I mean when I'm like, if you're gonna make this kind of movie, you have to be better writers. You just have to.
But Taxi Driver, Robert De Niro's character was insane. Clint was not supposed to be insane.
No, I feel like it's still that like male fantasy of like what a badass is. Because a lot of people, I feel like even though De Niro's insane in that, I think a lot of people like see him as like, oh, this like badass, cool, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's... I don't know,
Taxi Driver, an actually good movie, okay? Like, earned the violence of Robert De Niro's character because his character... You know, it was like a psychological study of his character. You know, like it was right. He was insane.
Well, that's what
he was,
I mean.
He was angry at society. All these things.
Yeah.
Is Brody's character of Clean another one of these male fantasies that you can be capable of that much violence and you're still just like a really even keeled guy who just wants to help little girl. You know, like that, like being capable of that kind of violence, gratuitous violence on a moment's notice. And then you can also just be this guy who takes care of little girls benevolently.
I would say yes, right? Like that is, but it's, yeah. I mean, obviously it's problematic on so many levels. It's just like, again, it doesn't address any of the kind of like, systemic issues of like why people are in these sort of situations, and even too the reason that he's so tormented. I had to look this up because I was like, I thought that we find out how his daughter died. I thought that what I was looking at was like a little knife or something, and I was like, wow, she's like 6 years old and she killed her, like she committed she injected herself with heroin and that's how she died. And I was like, wait, what? Like, one, what 6 year old
like knows how?
And I guess, you know, people like play, you know, if you watch your dad, I would assume long enough and whatever. It just like, it
was
just
such. Does that mean that he was shooting up in front of her? Like, what was that?
Again, this is another reason why it doesn't work though, is like the whole premise is that like he feels guilty for his daughter's death, which is why he's going out of his way to protect this surrogate for his daughter who, like, kind of looks like his daughter, yada yada. It is a much more powerful story if, like, and it just, like, makes more sense, I think, if, like, maybe it's his violence that led to his daughter's death, right? Like, maybe it's that, like, in one of his things, like, or make it a John Wick story where someone comes in and kills his daughter, but, you know, you can't, like, kill a kid that way.
It would be so much more likely if you were, like, an international assassin that your kid would get murdered because of that, as opposed to taking out your heroin kit, what, frying up the thing on the spoon? It's like a six-year-old? Like...
I doubt that, but she just like play. I don't know. It doesn't work. So like trying to figure out why doesn't make sense. But even too, it's like, okay, if you don't want it to be the brunt of your violence that's causing this, and it does stem from the drug problem or whatever. Like, what if it's that she? Like, he's driving with her in a car and he's doped up at the moment and like crashes the car and she dies because of that, right? Like, that is still a direct cause of your actions. That also, like, it was just confusing because then I was trying to figure out too, after she died, I was like, they made it seem in my head, I was like, oh, he went to prison for a while and came back, but I don't think he did. This man just like never served time or anything for like any of his,
because definitely if you leave your stuff out for your kids to use, that's on you, you know? Like, that's
gonna
negligence.
Die.
Yeah.
Or die. Sorry. You're gonna go to prison for that. Like, it just, everything was, and that's what I mean too about it not being well written, right? Like, if you're trying to make it a character study, you have to like put more care into your characters. That reveal was just bonkers to me. I did take a lot of screenshots of Google reviews. I got through the first hour of the movie by reading Google reviews because I couldn't stand this first hour. Because
you felt so alone. You're like, who else has been here?
Just, I was mostly, it was just very entertaining and I was very bored. I do like this one. Ruined by the filming, 4 out of 10. I'm surprised to see Adrian Brody starring in such an obviously cheap and derivative movie.
As you think, shocked to see him?
Hold on. As you'd think he would be above that. But that really shows you the perilous state of film. So again, one, that person doesn't know that Adrian Brody was executive producer and co-writer. And two, I think it really sums up the public perception of him and the entire reason this podcast exists,
right,
which is that people think he's a really great actor, and he can be. But they think that all of the movies he's in are good.
Yeah.
When the fact of the matter is, the majority of his movies are, like, clean.
Right. and that you don't see. Like, I feel like, yeah, when people think of Brody, they're still thinking of The Pianist. They think King Kong. They think After Midnight, or Around Midnight, Midnight in Paris.
Oh, Midnight in Paris.
After Midnight. But, like, movies like that, like, they really think of his best work. And most of his work is not his best work.
No. I mean, most of any, I guess, I don't know. You know, it's just tricky when it's like, I think it kind of is the peril of like winning an Oscar so young is right. That, you know, then you're kind of always compared to that, which is both a blessing and a curse, I would argue. But
But now I think they also think of Blonde, and Blonde was hailed as good, right?
No.
Blonde was not.
Emilio.
Wasn't it nominated for Oscars? Blonde?
Emilio, which review of Blonde did you see? No, people hated Blonde.
Oh, they did.
Blonde. This is why I'm saying I can't believe we have to watch Blonde for this podcast. People did not like Blonde.
It got no Oscar noms?
I don't know about Oscar noms, but I know that it was very ill received.
Oh, it won. I think it was nominated for one Academy Award, and it was for
costumes.
No, best actress in a leading role.
Oh, that's still crazy to me. Yeah, no, people did not like it.
Can't wait. Cannot wait.
Cannot wait. Okay, here's my gal Gail has this great review. 3 out of 5 stars. I'll watch anything Adrian Brody stars in.
I'll watch anything Adrian Brody stars in.
So I gave this a shot. I'm in my 60s and don't care for rap music. And there's a lot of that in this film.
Don't care but for I still rap watched music. It. I don't care for it.
The action was a little slow when he's not killing thugs. I did like to see him get rid of them, though. I did love the fact that he cared for and rescued innocent children. What? Plural? Innocent children? What?
I did see that savior image of him. Like, you like to see someone rescuing a child. Okay.
No, children.
Children, right.
Plural.
Did you think it was a different person in every scene?
Adrian Brody. This is my favorite review. Dwight O'Neill, 5 stars. James was very helpful, fast, and helped me get my car with no problem with a low down payment. Recommend you come to Clean Cars. That's my favorite review. One person found it helpful.
Oh, God. I hope they brought their car to Clean Cars.
A lot of, too, it's like a lot of people saying, Adrian Brody is so much better than this, and I'm here to argue, no he's not.
Spot on for him. This is part
of
the course.
Amelia. So I told Amelia that she had to stay through the credits, the end credits, which she did not do. I am going to give y'all a little treat here. I'm going to have to play it through my phone to my microphone, so hopefully it's not too, too awful. So first off, this is the first song that starts. I want to read you some of these lyrics. Okay, here we go. Girl says daddy changed the world. Experience has now made her older, older and older. Revolution in her words, greater is the stand, even fate, after and after. Forever love on you, deserved for life of you, deserved for lights on you, dancing in flames, calling your name. These lyrics make zero sense. No sense. These were written by Adrian Brody. I want you to know that. Galvanize the everyman, every soul we lose, we plan over and over.
Wait, okay, can I just say that, like, lyrics like galvanize the everyman, like, Brody very clearly has this image of himself that is not the reality of who he is. Like he's singing us, he's writing lyrics called Galvanize the Everyman, and we read in the like thing that they were trying to fuck workers out of pay or whatever. Like,
oh yeah, so that is
to strike because they weren't getting paid well or something.
Yeah, 10 days into principal photography, filming was shut down by IATSE, which, for those of you outside of LA, IATSE is like the largest below the line union. After the crew demanded union representation and the producers refused to sign a contract with the union, Adrian Brody being one of those producers. A few days later, an agreement was reached and photography resumed. So, like, I get, like, union stuff is more expensive, but it's also, like, come on. Like,
don't be writing songs about galvanizing the everyman. What do you mean when you say that, then?
Okay, here I have that song. Girl says daddy changed the world. Experience has now made her older. Can you hear it?
Yes. Oh, I can hear it. Revolution in her words.
Greater is a stunning when okay, that's just a sampling of that one. But Amelia, the real reason that I told you to watch the credits was for this. Hit him, I ain't lying, I'ma kill him. Words bomb, and you dying, and you better hide our children.
Pedal to the metal, and I'm flying in the rattle. Wait, is it Brody himself rapping?
Yes. Whistle like a kettle. I ain't doing 20, not locked in a battle. Get your hand in the cookie jar, get it taken off. Pass it to my man, boss. That's a handoff. I'm with the bands off.
Oh my god, wait, where do we find the lyrics? Where's the song called?
You can't get it anywhere.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Raps! Did they say hit him high, hit him fly? Did he say that?
Probably. I mean,
hit him
what,
high,
yeah.
Hit him fly? Did he say?
Homie dead, haul him out.
Homie
let's see.
Dead? What is he talking about?
Let him fly, let him high when the bullets dump. Drive by his crib, hit him up with the pump.
Wait, what is he?
Killers. Is he? Killers all around, I'ma lay you down. When I hit you with the 4 pound, you gonna fall down. Looking like a horror movie, weigh that blood pouring out. Crack a Guinness stout, pour some out for my homies. It's a cold world, that's why we hold heat. Kind of like that.
Wait,
that line,
there's no
gonna...
way. Did he write this song from the perspective of Clean?
I think so, because at the very end, I'm not sure that I have it on here. But at the very end, he says some there, or there's like lyrics happening that relate to Clean. Yeah, it's
that's unbelievable. That's
Amelia. This is why I was like, you have to watch the credits.
I'm not gonna. The moment we wrap, I am going back and I am watching the credits fully to the end and listening to the lyrics so closely because it's unbelievable. What
like, I
wrote it, pour one out for the homie. Like,
also
drive by shootings.
Okay.
Is that what he's talking about?
I'm pretty sure the song. Yeah, so all of these are like published by Brody Beats. Is like I have the credits up for the music right now. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm pretty sure what the girl was singing. She was singing Ave Maria. So okay, whatever.
Okay.
Also, yeah, very much not what Brody wrote.
Thank God.
But it is. It's a lot of published by Brody Beats. Published by Brody. Yeah, Code of the Streets is the name of that last song.
Code of the Streets.
Oh wait, sorry. Adrian Brody did not write the lyrics of that last one, so he did write the rap lyrics, but not the lyrics of the last song, so I can't drag him for that one, okay? I will say I was wrong. That was not, he just wrote the music, not the lyrics.
Okay, to the one where he was rapping about pouring one out for the homies? And...
No, that one he wrote. The one with the woman singing.
Oh, he didn't write the one about the girl becoming older and older and
yes.
older.
Older and older and older. Word is bond. That's a code of the streets.
My lord. I mean, how can anything top that? And yet one must. For we press on. In the next film, Linnea has told me that she may not rewatch. She may not do it to herself again.
It's not even that bad. It's just I'm very, like, I don't feel the need to watch it again.
All right. So it's called The French Dispatch. You heard of it?
Wes Anderson.
A love letter to journalists set in an outpost of an American newspaper in a fictional 20th century French city that brings to life a collection of stories published in The French Dispatch magazine.
I saw this in theaters.
Looks like it's going to be cute as hell.
Yeah, it's all right. I have thoughts. Of course. I always have thoughts. It wouldn't be this podcast. I know.
BronyVest wouldn't exist if you didn't have thoughts.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This one might be fun for y'all to actually watch if you haven't seen it. Like, it's fine. I don't have, it's not that I hate it or anything. I'm just kind of like, I don't know if I want to rewatch it. But I guess maybe I will. We'll see. We'll see how the next 2 weeks goes.
Well... Yeah, I mean, thank you guys for tuning in.
Thanks. I will say that Clean is on Tubi for free. So it honestly might be worth just watching the last 15 minutes and listening to the credits if you really, really want to do that to yourself. That's my recommendation. Amelia's just been sneezing this entire podcast. She's been doing a very good job of muting herself while she's sneezing. I'm watching her sneeze right now. Oh, wow. I wish we could record the videos of this, because this is pretty spectacular. I've just been having a
terrible allergic day. Sometimes I just have bad allergy days. Hits me about once a month. And today just happens to be it. And thank you for saying that I've been doing well. I've been trying to do well on this podcast.
Crushing it. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
Hear any terribleness.
So thoughtful. Wonderful. I hope you feel better soon.
I certainly hope so.
And thanks, guys. We'll see you. We'll talk at you next time.
Talk at you next time.
Bye.
Adrian Brody.